Well, thank you very much. Thank you, boys and girls. Appreciate that. Miss Sam for taking care of that. That's choir members' kids, and we rehearsed during the choir rehearsal time. They watched the kids and kept them busy with that. Oh, my. All right. Amen. 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 And I, again, really want you to make sure you're here tonight for the program, and bring a friend. We'll have a great time. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Again, I apologize for my voice. One of these days, I'll get it back. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. This is, of course, what we would call a Christmas scripture, but it's not really a Christmas message, although we're pulling right out of this passage, not really a Christmas message, but it kind of comes from this Christmas passage. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26, I'm going to be reading down to verse number 38. All right, I think we're there. All right, let's read together here. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. The sixth month of what? Well, in the context, is the sixth month of the pregnancy of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. Of course, Elizabeth had been barren all her life, not able to bear a child. She was basically past that age at that point. And then, of course, to draw attention to this child, God knows what he's doing, by the way. To draw attention to this child, in fact, Jesus said of John the Baptist, no greater born of woman. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to be having a child. It's been about 6 months since they found out they were going to have a baby. And it says, so in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice there it says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She wasn't troubled at his seeing. She wasn't troubled at seeing him. She was troubled at what he said. Well, what did he say? He said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And so when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to talk on this topic. Lord, are you sure I'm the one you want? Lord, are you sure I'm the one you want? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the encouragement in here. We thank you for the rebuke when it's necessary. We thank you for the instruction. We thank you for the correction. We just thank you that you didn't leave us here to try to flounder through life, but you've given us the word of God to live by. And Lord, we need to take your word and live by it in faith, taking your word for what it is. And just as Mary did, she She says, according to thy word, let it be. And so that's what we need to do. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time. Give each of us what we need here this morning. We give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. There was only one virgin that was chosen to birth the Son of God into the world. No one else is going to do that. However, you are the only one of you. You may not, or maybe will not, of course, be asked to give birth to Jesus. But God has a plan for you, and you are the only one that can fill that plan like you can. It may not go down in the Bible, since it's all finished. I can pretty well guarantee it won't. It may not be of great notoriety, but it's important somewhere in God's plan. Those of you who know Christ as your Savior, you were important enough to God that God made sure that somebody got the gospel to you. He didn't just kind of throw a bunch of gospel dust over here and say, well, let's see who we catch. The Bible says he chose you. It doesn't mean that he chose you in spite of others, but he individually chose you. He wanted you. Anyone wanted the person next to you. Our little mind has a hard time comprehending how you can know, you know, some people say, well, I know, you know, I go to church and I don't even know everybody's name. God knows your name. He doesn't have that problem. He knows your heart. He knows your hurts. He knows your hungers. He knows you. If you notice, there's very little mention of Mary in the rest of the Bible. Now, she is seen at the wedding, asking Jesus to come up with some more drink, and then you see her standing outside where Jesus was preaching, and and someone said, well, your mother and your brethren are here to see you. And then we see her at the cross when Jesus from the cross asked the apostle John to take care of Mary after he's gone. Otherwise, she's kind of in the background. Mary wasn't sure the angel had the right girl when he came to her. Other than apparently being a holy and a righteous person, Mary was just an ordinary person. Often, when people feel the Lord moving them to serve Him in some special way, our first response is often, well, I can't do that. I don't have the skills to do that. I don't have the abilities to do it. I don't have the desire to do that. I don't have the time. I don't have the knowledge. We are basically saying the Lord just made a mistake. He failed to consider all the factors. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't think this through. But I think there's a few things that we need to remember. Number one, God knows you. God knows you. In Luke 1 there, our first verse or 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I don't think God didn't just tell Gabriel, hey, Go down to Israel someplace and see if you can find a girl that's got some sense about her. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be somebody down there. Just go down there and see if you can find one. He didn't do that. He already had his eye on Mary. In fact, he knew exactly who Mary was going to be before Mary was Mary. He came to her. He says, I know exactly who I want you to go talk to. I've got a job for you, Gabe. Go down and talk to Mary. She's in Nazareth, and I'll tell you what her address is. I'll tell you where you're going to be able to find her, and I want you to tell her that I've got a job for her to do. I think we forget that God knows every single thing about us. I was at the doctor this past week, you know, and I had my heart appointment, and everything's fine, by the way. And I was going to do the kidney appointment, but the ice showed up on Thursday, and so we postponed that till after Christmas. But when you go to the doctor, you got to stand on that stupid scale. And nowadays, the scale's in the floor. Because in case you can't lift yourself up a step to get on the thing, you know, it's flat, you know. And of course, they put you on there. You got your coat and your shoes and a half a gallon of keys, you know, and all in your pocket. And you get finished, and it all comes up, and I'm gonna say, that's not really what I weigh. I want you to know that, you know. That's not the real thing. But since the gal was a girl, I figured I better not. Anyway, the way I usually weigh myself in the morning. But anyway, God knows all about you. He knows your fears. He knows your desires. He knows your shortcomings. He knows the things that you can't do or you think you can't do. He knows you. Psalm 139 says, verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins." In other words, he said he owned the innards. My person, my heart. "Thou hast possessed my reins when thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." By the way, you know what he says? You were a person, you just happened to be covered by your mother's womb. Let that sink in there a second. I know it's a rabbit trail, but he says, you were a person, we couldn't see you because you were inside your mother's womb. You're the same person inside her womb as you were outside the womb. Just throw that out there. He says, "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." If you go back and study that out, it's basically saying this. God knew you before the molecules that were put in your mother to form you. The molecules were still in the plant. In fact, he knew the molecules that was going to grow that plant when it was still dirt. You know what I'm saying? He knows where all the minerals and everything came from that went into the plant that Mary ate that formed the baby. Before I was around, before anybody knew I existed, you knew I existed. When God comes to you and he's speaking to your heart, listen, don't take it lightly, because God knows everything about him. Don't sit there and give him a bunch of excuses. He knows all those. In fact, he knew you were going to say that. God didn't flip a coin and choose whether he wanted Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Well, she's heads, so I guess that's the one. No, he said, he came unto her in verse 28. The angel came unto her and he said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." He says, he knows exactly who you are, Mary, and you're the one he wants. God knows if you seek him with all your heart. Or if you don't. God knows what you are like behind closed doors. God knows how you live among others. God knew that she was a virgin. The Lord knew that Mary was in a relationship with Joseph and what that relationship was going to be like. And the Lord knew that Joseph would deal with the situation with Mary in mercy and in truth. He wasn't going to kick her out to the curb and be done. He knew who he was like. God knows where to find you. God knows where you live, and the Lord can contact you whenever he wants. You cannot hide from God. neither are you hidden from God's sight. Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. He says, I don't care whether the light's on or not. God knows exactly where you are. You can hide, you can try to hide all you want. The fact is, it's funny how it is. When we're doing wrong, we want to hide. We wish he didn't. It wasn't watching. And when we're in trouble, we wish he was looking. You know how we play those games. When I was young, some of you heard me tell this story, but when I was young, when I was mid-teens, I really felt impressed that God wanted me to serve him with my life. I didn't know where or how. I stuttered so bad, I figured I could never be a preacher. But I thought, well, I'll be a music or whatever it is. And so I studied. I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to study to be a music director. But I was living in Hampstead, Carroll County, Maryland. County population, 75,000, entire county. Who knows where Carroll County, Maryland is, you know? And in my finite mind, in my young Christian mind, I thought, you know, even if I go get an education, to be able to be a music director, so my first degree was in music, even if I do that, how's anybody going to find me? And the fact is, I wasn't really sure where I wanted to go to college. In fact, I grew up Methodist, and I hate to say this, don't insult anybody, but I didn't want to go to one of their colleges because a lot of the people coming out of there didn't believe there was a heaven or a hell, or that Jesus was virgin born, or they weren't sure he was the Son of God, and there was a lot of little things going on, didn't know whether God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh or not. They didn't know any of these things. And I thought, well, I don't want to go there. They don't believe the Bible. But I thought, well, where am I going to go? And I don't know. So I went to a secular college for music, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just go and do the best I can. But I'm not sure why I'm doing this. I just felt like that's what God wanted me to do, and I can't see any much further than that. But I guess I'll just take the steps that I do know, and I'll go get an education to be able to do the job. But I remember thinking, how's God going to know where I am? I'm hidden down here among the country roads. Shiloh United Methodist. You out Shiloh Road, you know, Gorsy's Road out there, next to where I'm talking about. I mean, there's nothing out there. If you're gonna go to church at that church, you got to go there on purpose. Nobody else goes out there but the tractors. There's not much else out there. There's not even a whole lot of houses. At least it wasn't at that point. And then I realized, God knows where I live. God knows my phone number. And you know, when we moved, I didn't have to send God a change address form. He knew exactly where I was. And so now we just moved again, but he's got my new address. In fact, they were kind of deciding whether it was going to be Mountain View or Country Drive, because I was sitting on the corner of a lot there. They weren't sure which way I was going to do it, depending on which way we faced the house. But anyway, I've thrown two addresses up there at him, but he's not confused. Mailman's confused. But he's not confused. He knows my email address. The one that I have at home, he knows my email address at church. He knows my cell phone number. He knows the church's number. He knows friends of friends that I have that could probably track me down. He doesn't need that, but he knows those things. God knows you. Do you sometimes feel like a little speck in the middle of the cosmos? Don't. He He chose me. Before the world began, He chose me. He knows you. Number two, as wonderful as Mary was, she was still humble and did not think of herself as superior. There's no sense in you trying to put on a show and make yourself out to be something because God knows you. But when God comes calling, you can make all the excuses that you can make, but don't think it's going to change God's mind because He knows you. Look at verse 29. And when she saw him, she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. It's almost, listen, if an angel shows up at your house, I think you might be troubled. And she saw him, but she was troubled at what he said. But what did he say? What did he say? Look at verse 28. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What do you mean she's troubled? Now, I'll be honest with you. There's some of us who will say, that's right. That's me. I'm highly favored. God's with me. But she said, are you sure you knocked on the right door? Because I know me. I know me. She was hot. She said, whoa, listen, I was going to get married to Joe, going to have some kids and raise them there in his carpenter shop. I mean, I'm just kind of lay low here. It wasn't my game plan to be up front for everybody in the world to know who I am. I'm just Mary. He says, you're highly favored. She says, are you talking to me? Something's wrong. I'm not supposed to be here. Am I in trouble? What did I do? But she feared God. It was not, well, it's about time the Lord took notice of how spiritual I am and what a good catch I am. It was this, okay. Seems crazy, but this reminds you, I am who I am here, Gabe. I am. I won't name any names, but years and years and years ago, I had an opportunity to do some music at a large national conference. And a friend of mine that I had sung with often, was also asked to go sing at this conference. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of thought, sure, you really want me to do this? You've heard me mess up so many times. I do what I can do, but I'm not necessarily professional quality. And happened to come across this friend who was also being asked to go down there in the hallway. And this friend said, they talked to you about singing at the conference. I said, well, yeah, they did. She said, it's about time. She says, I've been waiting for this all my life. I've worked hard for this. A couple years later, that same person was in my office and having some issues and felt like the Lord wasn't hearing the prayers. And I said, well, you hate to say this, but the first thing you got to do is say, is find out, is there any sin in my life? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And this person said, oh no, I'm squeaky clean. A cold shiver went down my back. Even if I just got off my knees and confessed my sins, I would never say I'm squeaky clean. I could feel that I am now forgiven and justified before God. But man, it only takes a minute or two for me to stump my toe or something, or Jan to be a minute or two late for dinner. You know, even the thought of foolishness is sin. One little passing thought. That's not a good place to be. And it wasn't but a couple years later the person was charged with a felony. Now, I never went to court or anything, never really went public. The people she worked with were very gracious. But anyway, I'm just saying, when God comes knocking, remember he knows you. But be humble before him. We don't deserve his notice. We don't deserve his notice. Number three, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now some may say that Mary must have had a guilty conscience. She was scared or afraid when he said that to her. She must have realized God's watching her, you know. And you say, you know what? I think she probably was a little concerned because she knows her. She knows she's a sinner. She knows she's not perfect. She's concerned about those little foolish thoughts. Mary was not sinless as some want to make her out to be. By the way, there's not an evidence of that being the case in the Bible, that she was sinless. They want to say that she was, immaculately conceived and so forth, sinless the rest of her life. There's no place that says that. In fact, she says she's going to give birth to the Lord, her Savior. She doesn't need a Savior. She's perfect. Mary saw herself as a sinner in need of a Savior, not a saint who was to be used as a trophy in the museum. I think she felt guilty over the little sins that most people shrug off and do not even consider to be sin. That's why she was highly favored. She wasn't highly favored because she was highly equipped to do the job. God can equip you to do the job. She was highly favored because her heart was with God. Number four, Mary knew she was a sinner. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these points here. They go by fast. Luke 1:46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. 1:46, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. In other words, he has noticed she's not much. He knows I'm not much. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. In other words, she got a good deal. Not that she earned a good deal. But she got the good deal. Watch. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. See, I've always heard about how merciful God is, and now I've experienced. It's still true. And it was true 2,000 years ago, and now it's true today. It's going to be true tomorrow. And it's going to be true for when your grandkids grow up. And when those little kids who sang here, when they're trying to raise a family, his mercy is still going to be true. I think the Lord knew that Mary was a seeker. Mary saw herself as a Jewish girl with her faults, trying to please the Lord, and yet still coming short of the glory of God. But the Lord saw this meek young woman as a trophy of grace, which could be used for great things in the work of the Lord. Look at verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the little boy I want you to give birth to. Well, what if I stumble and fall and I can't even carry the pregnancy? What happens when he's born and I got to raise him? What do you feed a king? How do you take care of him? How do you change the diaper of a king? I'm going to do something wrong. I mean, I'm not perfect. I mean, back when he was 12, even when he was 12, remember he stayed around at the temple in Jerusalem, and they headed back. She left her kid at church. She left the kid at church. And the kid happened to be the Son of God. They walked out. It was like they were gone for a whole day. Didn't even know where he was. What a negligent mother. Of course, when I grew up, you know, you go outside and play in the morning, you don't come back to dinner time. And mom was fine, you know, just because we live in a different world. We did that with my son one day. We got busy in church, and we all piled in the van and headed home. We were three and a half miles from home, but we got home, and we all piled out the door, and someone says, "Where's Nathan?" Do you remember that? Yeah, I'm sorry. We're just so busy. He's really, you know how he is now. He's busy. He knew what he was going to do, and he was a responsible kid. You know, I'm sure Jesus was probably pretty responsible, but he was a responsible kid, and he knew about what time to go home. I just thought he was going to be in there. We left church. Got home and said, "Where's Nathan?" I remember. I don't think you were too worse for the wear. At least you didn't put on that you were. I don't remember. You remember? I don't. Isn't it awful? Don't even remember. She knew what kind of mother she was going to be. Are you sure you got the right guy here? The right gal, Lord? Yeah, I think I do. Number 6, Mary was not looking to be famous. And is there some people who serve the Lord that are looking to be famous? She wasn't. Listen, we're talking, see, God knew her. You know how it is today. You want to go up through the ranks. You start networking. This person knows this person. This person knows this person. This person. You start making phone calls. You start networking. She wasn't looking out to be famous. She just wanted to be married. She wanted to get married to Joseph and have a couple kids probably and have a nice house and you know. She probably already put out the design to Joseph for the dining room table he was going to make down the shop. You know? Mary simply, though, wanted to serve the Lord. Verse 38, she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angels departed from her. Mary did not apply for the job as virgin mother. They didn't send out emails, and she said, "Well, you know, let me give it a shot. I'll send in my resume." If God is in it, the Lord will make it come to pass. The Holy Spirit of God will come upon you and bring His calling to life. See, if you're saved, you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. And He can use you to do whatever it is He's called you to. I'm not saying He's called you to be a preacher. It may be that he at this point, He's called you to talk to your neighbor about coming to church tonight with us. Maybe that's all. And we're scared to death. God, you got the wrong gal here. Now you know who you're talking to. I know who I'm talking to. But there's nobody else. Listen, do you realize there was nobody in the entire universe fit to give birth to Jesus. You realize that? But she had given herself over to him. That's what made her a good possibility. She had given herself to the Lord. Mary was, I don't believe Mary was doubting the Lord as much as she was simply wanting to understand. Verse 34, watch this. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, by the way, she didn't say, this guy's going to be what? Oh, I can't, I didn't sound right. I haven't seen a good king. There's never been a good king. He's going to be who? I don't know that. She didn't question what he said was going to be. She said, well, how's this going to work? How am I going to be able to help there? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Let me get another one. The Lord will often reinforce his calling with things that will take away our doubt and fear. I remember when we needed to come up here to be the pastor here, I'd never been the senior pastor anywhere. And I didn't know if I could do it, but I really felt with all my heart God was calling me. I didn't put in my heart that I wanted to feel that way. I just couldn't let it go. I had it good where I was. I had a nice job. The people loved me. I had a nice office. I had a choir of 145 in an orchestra at that point. We lived 3.5 miles from the church on a piece of land that I had watched since I was a kid and thought that'd be a neat place to build a house. And we had built a house right there on that lot. I mean, I had it good. And yet, the Lord was saying, this is not where you're going to stay, Sterling. I got something else for you. And I remember people coming up and giving me a hard time. You don't want to do that. You'll go up there and you'll get lost. No one ever know who you are. I thought, well, it doesn't matter if they know who I am. Point is, if I can be used so that they know who Jesus is, then I've done my job. Be reinforced. But there was things that the Lord did to reinforce this calling for me. Look at verse 36. The Lord says, behold. He says, Mary, I know you're having trouble with this. I know you're having a hard time kind of thinking this is really possible. But thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is she's in her 6th month already. He was called barren. She was told she'd never have a baby. She's 6 months pregnant. She's probably, 65, 70 years old. I don't remember how old they were supposed to be. How old? They give a kind of age? You know all that stuff. But she was up there. And here she is walking around pregnant. And Mary heard and believed and turned it over to the Lord. So verse 38, watch, 36. This is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know what that just said? Nothing shall be impossible. Now, that doesn't mean we put out a wish list and say, okay, now God make it happen. Could he make it happen? Sure. Is it the best thing for you? Not necessarily. Lord, I ought to be president of the United States. And he says, no. And for everybody's sake, that's probably a good thing. But she said, her response was this, though. Her response was, well, it's about time. Or, okay, I'll take care of this. She says, behold, look, here I am, the handmaid of the Lord. Look, be it unto me according to thy word. That's simple. Here I am. What do you want? She Roman 12'd the situation. What? Roman 12'd. Roman chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. He may prove it was a good and perfect, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to see God do some great things? Give yourself to Him. Now, don't push the doors open, and when you give it to Him, then you start, and then think you're Superman. Start pushing doors open. I've called on God. He's going to give me whatever I want. To infinity and beyond. You know, that's not what He's saying. He said, because you see, if we do that, we're not asking what He wants. We're doing what we want. So what He's saying is, well, here I am. And then literally, when I came up here, it was kind of like, here I am. I mean, there were some opportunities, some phone calls came in, some opportunities to go preach some place and so forth. But the fact is, when it was all said and done, someone showed up the door at the church where I was working, and that's when I got in connection with this church. They said, we need a preacher up here. What I'm saying, I said, the Lord came knocking on my door. But I waited. I know. I started feeling the call when I was 40. I was 43. Doesn't matter. Wait for me to give you the sign. Now, Psalm 37 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Nothing is impossible. Here it is, Lord, You take it. Now, there are many folks who are full of themselves who think that the Lord has been overlooking them for years. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity, now of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. He says, you know what this whole Christianity and stuff is? Do you know what my goal is? I'm trying to get out of you here. He says, love one another. The whole end of this commandment is charity. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. He says, listen, you want to grow in the Lord? Get to the point where you're like the Lord. And the Lord God is love. He that loveth is born of God, knoweth not God. He knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. We're all here trying to make ourselves out to be something special. And the fact is, just do what He wants you to do. He says, the end of all this is charity out of a pure heart, not making it up, not playing love. You know, there are some people who can really put it on. I mean, they can lay it on thick. But then if you cross them, ooh, man, you're in trouble. He says, that's what I'm talking about. Watch. And faith unfeigned. How do you please God? He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Love others and have faith in God. That's what He said. That's the end of all of this. But Timothy says this. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, have a pure heart, and have a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. They're big talkers. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whatever they affirm. Brethren, James 3 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. So if you think you're ready and fit to serve the Lord, you probably aren't. See, when I feel like I'm ready, then I'll serve Him. Then you're probably not, because you think you're going to do it. Then you're not fit to do it, because you won't let Him do it. You're going to get in there. He's going to put you in a position, and then you're going to do what you want. He's smarter than that. If you are willing to surrender to whatever the will of God is, present your body as a living sacrifice. Well, I don't want to just give up my life. It's no sacrifice. You give unto Him, you will find that what He gives you is not compared to what you've given Him. If you're willing to surrender to whatever the will of God is, then you may be ready to serve the Lord. And when the Lord makes it clear that He has a work for you to do, and I'm summarizing, that's a miracle in itself. It's a Christmas miracle. See, Lord, nothing with God, nothing is impossible. I'm summarizing. When the Lord makes it clear that he has a work for you to do, ready? Believe it. He knows who you are. Believe it. A, believe it. B, accept it. I don't really like that. Accept it. I'm not sure it's going to get me where I want to. Accept it. Because frankly, it will probably take you where you never even dreamed you'd be able to go. I heard this guy say, you know, I don't have time to be a missionary. I'm going to go see the world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Watch this now. Believe it, accept it, watch. Surrender yourself to it. Listen, the victory is not in the fight, the victory is in the surrender. It's been a long time since I said that one. That's a good one. The victory is not in the fight, it's in the surrender. It's not me fighting. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting against our own sin. Well, listen, why am I fighting against sin? I have no power to fight sin, but I know someone who does. Amen. Believe it, accept it, surrender yourself to it. Finally, commit the work back to the Lord. You want me to do what? Man, you're going to have to do this. Well, I was hoping you were going to say that. See what I'm saying? Commit thy way unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your, listen, you commit your work to him, and your thoughts shall be established. You're not doing it. Well, good thing, because I sure don't know how to do that. Now, listen, I think you learn. You can learn. And there's things you do learn. You know, starting out every day with an empty mind. You learn. But not only are you leaning on the everlasting arms, you're learning to lean on him. You're learning and you're leaning. That's how you live life. You live, you learn day by day. You get in this book, you find out the truths of the word. But in the meantime, you're leaning on him all the time. Learning and leaning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, check with headquarters. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you don't acknowledge him, don't expect you to hear him direct your path. Your path. You want him to direct your path? Check it with headquarters. Well, you didn't tell me. You didn't ask. We're supposed to come to him by faith. Well, you know I'm stupid. Yes, I do. That's why I told you, lean not unto your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge me. And I, but the fact is, the just are to live by faith. You're saved. Well, then I should fail. Yeah, but now you got to live by faith. What does that mean? You act. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. God said, this is what you do, then that's what we do. He says, I'll do this, this is the promise. And I can go for that promise because I'm going to trust him and do what he's asked me to do. And commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, Proverbs 16:3. Now we're coming into a new year. The world is not the same as it used to be. Satan has become very bold, at the same time reckless. He's shown his hand more clearly than he have ever seen in our lifetime. People are so bold in their sin against God. We need to give ourselves to the Lord to be used more than ever. And we have an opportunity to make a difference in our world. And we can't be weary in well-doing. But we will reap if we faint not. We should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain, the Lord. Watch this. We will reap if we faint not. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is utter dependence upon God. Really, what that is. I can't do this to the Lord. I've got to give it to you. So when I give, watch. So if I want to reap, that I can't faint. To keep from fainting, I need to pray. If I'm going to pray, it's because in my heart, I've given over utter dependence upon God. You follow what I'm saying? Believe God. Trust in Him. We are in the process of our 20th year as Lighthouse Baptist Church. We will celebrate those 20 years in October 2023, coming up here this next October. The time of our redemption draws near, and I am afraid many of our friends and loved ones will not be ready to face the Lord when He comes. Now, the Holy Spirit was birthed into our very souls when we received Christ as our Savior. We have the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and we had better use it while there's time. It just got quiet. For there will come a time when those around us will no longer endure sound doctrine. It's happening already. I heard some clips of some of these late night talk show guys mocking and joking about the crazy Christians and how they must be squelched. We are called the radical Christian right extremists. The host pontificates how we need to be put in our place, silenced, or better yet, disposed of. And the audience roared in approval. He put Republicans and all those Christians. He put all there all together. And I hate to say it, I don't think there's necessarily a large portion of Republicans who are actually Christian. I'm sorry, they're conservative. Maybe Christians. I'm sure there are a lot of them there, but I don't know how many are. We must resign our hearts to say, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word." Be unto me, that's surrender. So, surrender to the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Obey the Lord immediately. She didn't say, "Well, I'll tell you what, let me get married to Joe, and then we'll figure out a way to get this worked in my schedule." This is going to mess everything up. In fact, she might lose Joe. Surrender, obey, and expect the Lord to work and make it happen. Are you sure I'm the one you want, Lord? Well, sure. Why do you ask? I have nothing to offer. Well, you surrender your heart and life and soul to me, and you will see me do the impossible. I probably shouldn't take this time to do this, but I'm going to. And I'm probably be careful with this, I understand. A while back, Pastor Nathan, my son, who did Sunday school in here last hour, starting to think about whether to go to college or not. And he said, he knew that we wanted our kids to go to college. I mean, he knew that. He was feeling the pressure. And I think he, you know, be honest with you, I don't think he was necessarily, you know, full of himself or anything, but I think it was more like he didn't want to go to college and fail. And we got to talk about it one day. I don't remember exactly how, where it was, or maybe it was a combination of conversations that kind of slid in. But through the time we talked about it, and he said, "Well," I said, "I don't have anything to offer." He said, "Sterl," that's my oldest son, "he's so smart and he knows all these science things and biology and computers and all this stuff." And he said, "And Esther, she plays piano. I mean, she just plays piano. She can just do anything she wants on the piano. And Hannah, she's like a teacher's teacher. She's just a teacher." And he says, "But I don't have anything to offer." And I said, "Well, I think you got a little bit more to offer than you might think." And so I think with the help of Kenny Dallas, who was my youth pastor at the time, kind of convinced him to go ahead and go to college at least for a year and get a Bible degree. And he'll come back if he wants to start a business or something. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I said, I really believe the Lord's got something on your hand. Not because you're my son. I said, I've watched. He said, you got to say that. Dad, you're my father. And I said, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't lie to other people. I think you got something to work with there. So he decided you're going to go to college for a year and get a Bible diploma. He was out there for one semester, and when within that semester, if I remember right, he decided he was going to stay all 4 years. And I think he got some encouragement from the youth pastor, he got some encouragement from the professors out there. And but you know, when the Lord was knocking on his door and he was saying, I think you got you must be looking for the guy next door. Now I'm gonna now don't give me be please forgive me for this. But not only did he graduate from college, he was valedictorian. Amen. 3.998 whatever. Please forgive me. But my point is this: when he decided, especially he was always did well, but he decided his junior year, he says, I don't want to just do well. I want to give it all. I want to hang with those who give it all. I'm not going to, there's a lot of things I could be doing, but I'm not going to do those things because that wouldn't be giving my all to him. And please, I don't want, you're not listening because I don't want to get a head swell. It'd be a real ruining. And exactly it would. Don't forget where you came from. And so, it was all said and done. Here he is. I know he's my son, but that's, I think the Lord has done some great things. All right. And now, all I'm saying is, you may say, who, me? And God says, I know who I'm talking to. You can do this because I will do it through you.